Amen. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that. Been working with them on that song. They pulled it together. That's really good. I was proud of you. That's good. No, I haven't worked with them at all, and that's why they sound like they do, so that's a blessing. Good to be here with you in the great state of Texas. How about that? Man, that's great. I'm sure glad to be here. My family got to come, and my boys came, in particular because we got to stop at Bucky's on the way in here. You know, I mean, that's a big deal for us, you know, like, man, we had a vacation this past year, went to Fort Worth, and Bucky's was number one on the list, you know. So anyways, you don't even realize how blessed you are to have a Bucky's just right here. I mean, man, you've got everything, right? So everything's big in Texas, especially the gas stations. So it's incredible. So anyways, really glad to be here. Thank you, Brother Crawford, for the invite and this beautiful facility. And I'm really glad that they've opened it up to us to have a youth rally here. I remember as a teenager how God used the monthly youth rallies that we went to nearly monthly, and that was a big help to my life. I don't remember all the preachers. I don't remember all the messages. Probably I should have been paying better attention. Is that what you're saying? But no, you know, you may not remember all of that, but God uses all of those things to help guide you in your life as a young person. This is one of the most exciting times in your life right now. I mean, not that it's going to get boring and dull and a burdensome and wearisome. It doesn't have to go that way. But I'm just saying, man, enjoy this stage. Enjoy every stage of life, really. Enjoy every stage of life. But enjoy this stage of life that you're in right now. I enjoyed having hair. It's an awesome memory, you know, and now I enjoy not having hair, and it saves shampoo and time and all kinds of stuff, you know. So anyways, I'm really glad to get to be here. Thank you for having the groups here as well. And we had such a request on the group set, and we had, you know, enough to make four groups. This is our first year having four groups. So sometimes the groups Assurance and Redeemed are combined, like you just heard them. And so, in fact, that's the first time I've heard you all combined. So that was a real blessing, but I'm thankful for what God's been doing at Heartland Baptist Bible College. If you want to come up and visit, I know a lot of you do, obviously, you know, with youth conference and college days and such. And right now, most of the students just really glad to be just about done. You know, I'm sure that's kind of where you are in your school stuff. And so anyways, but it's been good. God's been real good to us. And I just count it a great privilege to get to preach. I appreciate Brother Jonathan and his friendship, and his wife, Elizabeth, Emily, Elvira, something with an E, Edith. No, it's a long inside joke. I just let all of y'all in on it. That when I first got to know her, I kept messing up. You ever do that with somebody's name? You're like, hey, brother, right? Is that what you do? Hey, brother, if you can't remember. So anyways, Edith has been all kinds of names. At least I was in the E category. It is Edith, right? Okay, thank you. I just wanted to make sure. I like to work on the theme here a little bit. I love the theme, the one thing, you know, that we're to do, and then the theme of the youth rally related to that, reaching forth. So here's what I'd like for us to do is take the time. Let's stand in honor of God's Word as we turn to Philippians chapter 3. So find Philippians 3, but then also, if you would, find Joshua 13. So really, we're going to be focusing on Joshua 13 as really an illustration of what it means to be reaching forth, reaching forth. I hope and pray that God might use this to really just inspire and challenge you right where you are as young people, that you should be right now reaching forth for really one goal in life, and that would be to be like Jesus Christ. That is the one goal for all of us. God is so pleased with His Son that He wants all of us to be just like Him. 10 out of 10 Christians are somewhere in the midst of their Christian growth. 10 out of 10. That's including you. That's including me. I want to be like the Lord Jesus. And I'm thankful today that God loves you just the way you are, but He loves you way too much to leave you that way. It's a process of growth. Let's read about it here in Philippians in chapter 3. And Paul is writing. And there was a group of Jews that were trying to make them think to be really spiritual, they had to be like the Jews. Paul's saying, I've been down that road. It's a dead-end street. I've been down that road. Here's what you ought to do. Make it your goal in life to know Him. to know Jesus and to be like him. Look at verse number, where do you start with Paul, right? Verse 9. And be found in him, that's in Jesus. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Here it is. You ready? That I may, what? Know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. In other words, I think what he's saying right there is, I sure would like to live till when Jesus comes again. But if I don't, I've got some growing still to do before I pass from this life. All right, so Paul was communicating that. Look at verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either or already perfect, but I, what does he say? Follow after. I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press. That the idea is the runner that's straining, and he presses. He's straining with every muscle, every fiber, every bit of energy. He's trying to cross the line. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Joshua chapter 13, if you would. Joshua chapter 13. I want you to see this. Paul says there in Philippians, as you're finding your place in Joshua, Paul said, not that I've attained. In other words, he's saying this, I've got a long way to go. I've got a long way to go, but I want to keep pressing. I want to keep pressing. Look at Joshua chapter 13 and verse number 1. It says, now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years. Do you love it when God tells you you're old and stricken in years? Reality begins to set in right here, right? Look at this. And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. There's still a lot to do. There's yet much land to be possessed. Can you look at chapter 14 right quick? I know you're standing. I'll let you be seated here in just a little bit. Chapter 14, verse 6. So the land is being divided, but there's a lot that needed to be acquired. There's a lot that they had covered, but there's still much to do. It's like he's saying this, I'm still apprehending. I'm still trying. I'm still striving. I'm still going. You still need to keep going, Joshua's saying to them. Now we're going to read about Caleb. It says in verse 6, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, a servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Notice this. But I what? Wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet hath trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. He was reaching forth, right? He was reaching forth. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive as he said these 45 years, so now he's 85 years old, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses when the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness of Israel. And now I am this day 85 years old, and yet I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. All right? So he's desiring to have that mountain. I just hope I can get up out of bed when I'm 85 years old. One more passage. Can you hang with me here just a minute? One more passage. Turn a page over if you need to chapter number 15. chapter number 15. It reviews that God gave Caleb this land. He was the first to take further possession of the land as they were divided. And then he says in verse 16 of chapter 15, "He that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksah my daughter to wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it and he gave him Aksah his daughter to wife. Now I want you to notice this verse 18. "And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him," she moved Othniel, "to ask her father a field." But actually, when it all came about, she's the one that asked. Look at it in verse 18, the latter part. "She lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, 'What wouldest thou?'" What do you want? "What do you want, daughter?" And she said, "Give me a blessing. Give me a blessing, that for thou hast given me a southland. Give me the springs of water." And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. I wonder where she got that spunk. I wonder where she got that inspiration. Here was her dad that said, "Give me this mountain." And now she's saying, "Give me a blessing." I want to preach to you here this afternoon for just a little while on the inspired faith of a new generation. The inspired faith of a new generation. Hey, listen, this is your generation's time to step up. The inspired faith of a new generation. I'm praying that God would use this in some way, just even to rekindle or light a fire under you, that God might use you to do something great in your generation. The inspired faith of a new generation. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you today for this opportunity. Excited about it and just praying that you'd help it to go in the right direction. Help me to remember, hear what you've said in your word and get it across to these young people. I pray that they would take seriously the opportunity to live for you, that they would not waste their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. A generation ago, a man named Bob Hughes was a missionary after his time of military service in the Philippines during World War II. God saved him, and he was a saved man, and he saw the need in the Philippines. There's still a need in the Philippines. I think, in fact, Melanie grew up in the Philippines, and her family served there. Her brother's serving there now. And the Philippines is a really exciting place that God is doing the great work of missions and church planting, and missionaries are going out from the Philippines. Well, I do believe this now. I believe God is still calling people from the United States of America. I believe it may be, I was really excited thinking about this, that God could use this service maybe to cause somebody to think about God calling you to do His service, whatever that might be. Now, some of you may be already convinced that God wants you to be involved in some type of full-time Christian service. Now, let me say this. If you're saved, you ought to be serving God full-time regardless if you're a preacher or not, all right? All of God's children ought to be involved in personal soul winning and trying to get people saved and just basically this, living for God. Every one of you. Don't waste your life on yourself. Don't waste your life on yourself. I mean, there's a lot of great things that you can enjoy in life and such sports and Buc-ee's and I don't know, all kinds of other stuff, you know, that God just gives us. I mean, there's all kinds of opportunities to do that. But listen, don't waste your life on yourself. Live your life for God. Live your life for Him. And so, anyways, Bob Hughes was inspired. Bob Hughes was inspirational, really. I never met Bob Hughes. He died at age 44. God gave him a real desire to see a church grow in the Philippines. It hit 5,000 members, and then it continued to grow. They outgrew building after building after building. How many of you know the name Bob Hughes? Let me see how many of you know the name Bob Hughes. Okay, so there's some that are scattered out here. Hey, by the way, one thing I think you ought to do is read some missionary biographies. Young people, read some missionary biographies. I'm telling you, you'll get inspired by it. We listen to a lot of them. There's some audio versions of them. Some of you say, "I don't read." Well, you can listen. Christian Heroes Then and Now, and has a lot of missionary biographies that are inspirational and just challenges our generation to do something for God. And so Bob Hughes is one that really inspired me. He said things like this: "Go out on a limb, that's where the fruit is. Go out on a limb. That's where the fruit is. Do the impossible. There's not much of competition there. Do the impossible. I like that. I don't know if you caught that or not. Do the impossible. There's not much competition there. He had a real burden. He says, he said to his generation, I'm just trying to echo that for our generation, because listen, the work's not done. The work's not done. You say, what work are you talking about? I'm not talking about your schoolwork. That's not done either. But I'm talking about the work that God has given us to do on this earth. And that would be the work of trying to get the gospel from where you live, to, from the churches that you're a part of, to where God wants the gospel to go. I mean, I love the globe here that you have, Brother Crawford. You know, the United States of America, South America, Canada there, and Africa, and Australia, and India, and China, and Europe, and all these nations and the island nations. Listen, there's still a lot of people that have never once heard of Jesus Christ. We talk a lot about His second coming. Some of them have never heard about His first coming. And so many people are going to live and die. You're listening to this here this afternoon. I want to call your attention to this. There's a lot of people that's going to live and die and never hear the name of Jesus. And listen, if they don't know about Him, they can't be saved. And if they're not saved, they're going to spend all of eternity in hell. Does that concern you? Does that bother you? Does that make you think, you know, I want them to be able to hear. Don't you want them to be able to hear? If you love the Lord, I think you want them to be able to hear. Well, Bob Hughes and his generation, he said, many of you are waiting for a call. You're waiting for a call. If you're waiting for a call, I'll give you a call. There's a call come ringing, or the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. Amen. I believe God's calling another generation. I know you got a lot of noise. You got a lot of noise. You got a lot of distractions. Isn't that right? You got a lot of distractions. I did too. I didn't have to have a cell phone to have a bunch of distractions. You know, all I need for a bunch of distractions is just myself. You know, there's all kinds of distractions, and I mean, you got all kinds of things pulling on your mind, pulling on your heart, pulling on your desires, pulling on your goals, and you got all kinds of goals. That's all right. That's okay, as long as you're putting God first, and He'll line your goals up. Where's another generation that'll step up and say, I'll go wherever God wants me to go. I'm all in. I want to be a part of this. Hey, listen, don't just attend church. Don't just go to church. Get involved. Get on a bus route. Get on a van route. Start a bus route. You say, we don't have a bus route. Start one under your pastor's leadership. Get involved and share the faith. I'm telling you, listen, some of you need to wake up spiritually. Some of you need to wake up and see that God's got something for you. Listen, this is not just something that God's got for your parents, and if you've got godly parents, then thank the Lord. But listen, God's got something for you young men and you young ladies. It's not just the Sunday school teacher who's been teaching three-year-olds for 40 years at your church. You got one of those? When I go home to Bowling Green, Kentucky, when my boys were 3 and 4, I was literally dropping them off in the same Sunday school class that I went to when I was 3 and 4 to Miss Betty Ashby, who is still teaching 3s and 4s. Bless her soul. You know what I mean? I mean, she should receive multiple crowns in heaven for dealing with 4-year-olds. You know how many trips to the bathroom that is? You know how many animal crackers that is? You know how much Cheez-Its that is through the years? Mercy sakes alive. I thank God for a Betty Ashby. I thank God for a man named Gene Kramer that I just did his funeral service on Thursday, and he was faithful to greet in the South Foyer every Sunday, even as he got frail. I thank God for him that even in his 80s, he was walking up the stairs and down the stairs at Southwest, 3 flights of stairs, up the stairs and down the stairs, and I'd see him about, you know, on the second floor, and I'd say, Brother Gene, what number is this for you? He said, oh, I guess that's about number 7 up and down. 80 years old, still climbing stairs. Most of us will be taking the elevator, isn't that right? He's still serving God. He said, I didn't really mean to get saved. That's what he said. I didn't mean to get saved. He started playing softball with the softball team at Southwest Baptist Church. And they had a requirement that you'd go to at least 2 services. So he went to play softball, but he stopped running bases long enough to walk the aisle and trust Christ as his Savior. Hey, I want to thank God. I'm just trying to get across here today that you don't have to be a preacher to be used of God. You don't have to be a deacon. You can just be someone that's faithful. You're going to work a job at a bank. You're going to work a job. Well, number one, you need a job. Get a job someday. Get up out of your parents' basement and get a job. Amen. I mean, I don't think you got aspirations. Yeah, I want to spend the rest of my life in my parents' basement playing video games. No, listen, I'm telling you, your generation needs to get up and do something.
Yeah. Yep.
How are we doing? Are we doing all right? Is this making sense to you? I'm just trying to inspire you that, listen, there's a generation that has gone before us that has done the work of God, but listen, they are old and stricken in years. I'm not there yet, in case you're thinking I'm in that category. I'm older and more stricken by my years, but I'm not old and stricken in years.
Man.
Amen? Yeah. No, not yet. I'm heading that way. But some of the dear saints of God, I'll never forget. I know many of you know Brother Dave Hardy, and Brother Dave Hardy has been, how many of you know Dave Hardy? Let me just ask, he's been to your church. Dave Hardy has been a major, major mentor in my life. I mean, just it's hard for me to get across you today just how God has used some of these men. By the way, we ought not ever worship men, right? We understand that. I thank God for these men. My pastor, Brother Marvin Carson, my youth pastor, who's now my father-in-law. Be careful how you treat your youth pastor. He's now my father-in-law, but he's been an inspiration in my life. Brother Davison, obviously, has been an inspiration in my life. Dave McCracken, as kooky as he is, has been an inspiration in my life, you know. And then Brother Dave Hardy. But I remember when I was running with Brother Dave Hardy. Let me back up here. I remember when I first ran and Brother David Hardy was in a race. It was the men's advance. This was many years ago, probably around 2000, maybe 1999, way before you were in this world. And I thought as a young man, I could just show up and just run the race. So I got there to Boomer Lake and in Stillwater. It's kind of ironic, Boomer Lake. But anyways, in Stillwater, and I was running around that lake, and I cut out fast. Man, I was reaching forth, you know, for the prize. I was going as fast as I could and going. And about that time, man, I got weary. I got tired. I wondered, why in the world am I running this race? Has anybody else ever been there before? As you're running, you're thinking, why do I do this to myself? You know, why am I doing this? And I got tired, and I had to walk. And guess what happened? Dave Hardy flew right on by me. I thought, not again. Next year, I'm going to finish, you know. But I remember not too long ago, I was running with Brother Hardy, and we were running there at Earlywine Park in Oklahoma City. It's just a park that's on the south side of Oklahoma City. And here's what he said to me. You go on. You go on. I'll catch up with you later. It's Hannah's pastor growing up. You know, that, I'll be honest with you, that didn't sit very well with me. I thought, oh, no, Brother Hardy. And I didn't go on, in case you were wondering. I stayed back there with him. But it was the first time that it really hit me that that generation is older and more stricken by their age. Because to me, I thought, no, you can't slow down now. You are an admiral. In my mind, he didn't actually rank as an admiral, but in my mind, he's an admiral in the Navy. He was in the Navy, in the submarine. But in my mind, I mean, in terms of a man that God has used, I thought, Brother Hardy, you're gonna go on as long as I'm on this earth. But the fact is that some of the pastors and pastors' wives and missionaries like a Bob Hughes and others that have been so faithful through the years, they're aging. They've been reaching forth. They've been doing one thing. And here's my burden today, all right? I'm just trying to preach as straight to you as I know how to and try to make this hit home with you. Who's going to do the one thing after they're gone? You can't be them. I can't be Dave Hardy. I can't be Sam Davison. You know, as I made a transition there at the church, sometimes people say, you know, you got big shoes to fill. And I'd say things like this, you know, I'm just going to wear my own shoes. because he literally wears two sizes bigger than I do. I can't be him. God made him to be him. God made me to be me. God made you to be you. If somebody trying to be like somebody else, it's kind of like somebody wearing a toupee. It kind of looks a little bit like them, but you can tell that's not real. This is awesome. There's only one version of you. There's only one version. And some of your youth group saying, yeah, that's a good thing too. Right? No, there's only one of you. There's only one of you. God made you special and God wants to use you. God gave you the personality that you have. God gave you the looks that you have. God gave you the home that you have. God put you in the church that you're in. God called you to serve right now in this day and time that you're in. He called you to reach your generation. Listen, this is exciting. This is awesome. This is a great opportunity that's before you, but you're going to miss the whole thing if you get stuck on yourself. And these times of transition and these times of one generation passing off the scene and another generation coming on the scene, they can be a little bit shaky. They can be, you know what I mean by that? They can be a little bit, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I've got a picture in my office of the transition as it happened, and Brother Sam passed the shepherd staff, and I'm receiving it. You got the choir in the background, and there's a lady that's there, Miss Lily Patterson. You'd have to know her to really appreciate this in some ways, but not necessarily. But she's back there, and she's just crying, and I mean, just crying big time. And I'm thinking, why are you crying so hard? Well, she's crying because she loved Brother Sam. It's a shaky transition. You know what I mean? It's a critical time. That reaching forth when that baton is passed, that's a critical time. One of the first things I wanted to do when I got to Oklahoma City was find a barber. You say, why? Good question. Right? What's a bald man doing going to a barber, right? Hey, listen, by the way, just a little side note right here. You got time for a little side note just to kind of hit this? We need some more barbershops in America. Maybe that God's calling some of you to be a barber someday, young men. I'm talking about an old-fashioned barbershop. You know what I'm talking about? An old-fashioned barbershop where you got the red, white, and blue going on the outside, you know, and you come in there and it's men talking about hunting and fishing and sports. And I'm talking about, you walk in there and it's a barbershop and he's got a straight razor and he's as straight as his razor is. Don't you go to some sissy hair salon. No, sir, you better go to a barber shop. You follow what I'm saying? Man, I was concerned I wanted to find a barber shop, and I mean a real man's barber shop. And so anyways, I found this one, and I saw he was older gentleman. I don't know what age he was. Had to be in his 80s. And I sat down there in the chair, and he got to cutting my hair, and he got the straight razor out, and he was real shaky. I mean, it literally was about like that. I thought, dear Lord, if you get me out of here, I'll find another one real quick. I won't go to a hair salon, but I promise I'll find another one. And man, he shaved my neck, and it was okay, but whoo! Gets a little shaky, doesn't it? Hey, look, I really believe we're at a very critical juncture as independent fundamental Baptist churches. When many of the men, and I'm going to say ladies as well, and families, that paid a price, that fought the fight, that took a stand for the Bible, the King James Bible. Amen. I'm not just pushing amen buttons, but listen, God's preserved His Word. And when you use other versions and you come to like an Acts chapter 8 and it's missing a verse about baptism, that ought to be concerning to you. Or you come to the end of Mark chapter 16 and versions say, this is probably not the Bible. Then that ought to be concerning to you. And you come to John chapter 8 and you see where the woman was taken in adultery and they were going to stone her. And other versions say that it's probably not really in the Bible. Hey, wait a minute. That's in the Bible. And so there's a generation that fought a fight, fought a battle, took a stand that you and I was kind of on that transitional time. I saw it going on, but I wasn't entrenched in it. I was still in Bible college at the time, and a lot of that was happening around me and the music things that were shifting and changing and getting confusing and the personal standards and the holiness and all the confusion that was going on. I didn't fight all those battles. I didn't fight against the Calvinism of that day. I didn't fight against some of the things that are doctrinal. I didn't fight necessarily at that time for Baptist distinctives. Hey, listen, by the way, don't be ashamed that you're a Baptist.
Be thankful that you're a Baptist. Be grateful that that means something. Listen, people gave their life because they believed in baptism by immersion, and they believed in proper authority of baptism. Hey, listen, that's a fight that we've got to continue fighting, not because it's us, because that's what Jesus gave us, and we need to pass it on to the next generation. Are you listening to me? But you got to get this. It can't just be the Dave Hardys and the Sam Davisons and the Dave McCrackens and on, and the men, the pastors that you have here today. No, you got to know what you believe. The deity of Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed for all mankind. He didn't just die for a few people. He died for all people. Are you listening to this here today? And to recognize also this, that there's a distinction in the genders, that there's male and female. And a male is different than a female. But we're in a society that's so confused they don't even know which bathroom to go to. I've been in the ladies' restroom, but as soon as I figured out where I was, I got me out in a hurry. You follow me? But your generation, I mean, you're going to fight this fight, don't you know? For traditional marriage. For one man, one woman, one lifetime, and you can be married and happy at the same time. Hey, listen, we don't want to see you married and divorced, married and divorced, yep. Married and divorced, married and divorced. No, get married. Boom.
Yep.
Boom. Right there. I don't know if I've ever said boom before with marriage, but I'm just simply saying, follow God's plan.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you have inherited some things that you didn't fight for. You've inherited some land that you didn't fight for. But you better not let it go. Joshua, Caleb, and the other Israelites, they fought for some land, and then it's going to pass on to their children that are coming up behind them, and they would need to fight. In fact, the effort, the work wasn't done yet. There was still more to do. I'm saying to you today, there's more to do. There's more churches to get started like this church, like your church. There's more Bible studies that need to be started at your public high school. I said there's more Bible studies that need to be started at your public high school. You say, I don't think we can do that. We did that in my public high school. We had prayer in our public high school. I sat at a table and we prayed. We didn't stand up on the table and say, Dear great God of heaven and earth, Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No, and we didn't. But neither did we pray the napkin prayer. You know where you drop the napkin? Dear Lord, sure, thank you for the meal. Appreciate it. It's going to take courage. It's going to take courage for you to carry your Bible to school, but you can do that. You don't have to carry the big family Bible. You can carry just your regular Bible. But when I started carrying my Bible to school in the 10th grade, I carried the little Gideon's Bible because I could hide it in my bag and I could read it there in ag class while everybody else was doing something else. I was reading my Bible secretly. You know why? Because I was concerned about what people thought about me. I'm glad God helped me get past that because then I just started carrying my regular Bible and I just put it on my other books. Is this coming across all right? Is this making sense to you? It's not like we're better than anybody else. No, we're not. But we're in a better situation because of the grace of God.
Amen.
And God wants to use you, young man, and God wants to use you as well to make a difference in somebody else's life.
Yeah.
And Caleb said, whose name, by the way, means all heart. Lave means heart. Call means all. All heart. He was all heart. In other words, it's this. I'm all in. Do you know why Caleb was all in? Because of what God said. You look at chapter 14 and verse 6 and verse 10 and verse 12. Five different times Caleb says, I'm going to do this as the Lord said. As God said. As the Lord said, as He said, as He said. Faith is acting on God's word. Caleb took on the Anakims. That's Hebrews for big dudes. It's Hebrew for big dudes. He took Hebron. Hebron was a significant city. Sarah was born, was buried in cave of Machpelah in Hebron. Abraham would later be buried there. Isaac and Jacob were buried there. Caleb says, Joshua, you remember what God said? Oh, yeah. Huh? I mean, you got to think about this. You still thinking about this? Don't get scared. I'm not going to preach 2 hours. I'm actually seeing the runway where we're going to land. Some of you are concerned, thinking, good night, how long is this going to go? Are you thinking about that? Don't think about that. Think about this. Here they were, 40 years in the wilderness, 5 years more now, you know, as they've been journeying around and trying to conquer the land, or 12 years, I'm forgetting the timeline. Study your Bible. But he said, Joshua, God's promise is still just as good as when we were 40. You know what he's saying right there? God's word is just as good as when we were younger. I'm so glad that as a 14-year-old, God really started getting my attention. And I was liking girls way too much. I was into sports way too much. But then through the preaching of rallies like this and conferences and camps, I started loving God because He first loved me. Yeah. I started loving His Word. I started reading the Bible one chapter a day. I started listening to preaching even when it wasn't church time on cassette tapes. Cassette tapes are these square things. It's like I couldn't get enough of it. By the way, you'll never overdose on the Bible. Yeah. And I listened to preachers preach, and here's what happened. It inspired me. It gave me a heart for God. Here you are, 14 years old, 15, 16. I don't want to leave anybody out. Wherever you're at in your age, it'd be a great time to start getting serious about this. Yeah. Caleb did his part. But then he said this, whoever takes Kirjath-Sefer can marry my daughter. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? Heard about a guy that had a big swimming pool and he had it filled with snakes, poisonous snakes. Had a big party at his house. And he said, whoever jumps in the pool on this side and swims to the other side, I'll give him a choice of either land, cattle, or my daughter's hand in marriage. Next thing he knew, this guy was in the swim pool and he was swimming for dear life all the way to the other side. He got out, was out of breath, huffing and puffing, and the guy said, okay, man, that was amazing. What will it be? Land, cattle, what do you want? Land, cattle, or my daughter's hand in marriage? He said this, no, I don't want any of the three. I just want to know who pushed me in. Hey, listen, this man named Othniel, nobody pushed him in. Othniel, it means Lion of God. Othniel, you're looking for a good kid's name someday when you get married and have kids and you got a boy? Othniel. Who do you know named Othniel? Probably nobody. Anybody in here named Othniel? Go by Otto or something, I don't know, but Othniel. Man, I think, man, what a name. Lion of God. I tell you what we need today. We need some more axes and Othniels. I said we need some more Othniels and axes. We need some more men with courage like that that will be bold as a lion. Not in themselves, but in Christ Jesus our Lord, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. By the way, this was Judah that was taking the land. Caleb was of Judah. And here is Othniel that says he'll take the land. And he fought for it. And he took Aksah in marriage. And they became a courageous couple. Hey, let me challenge you about this right quick while we got a moment. Let me challenge you that as you get a young man or young lady in your life and it's time for you to have a relationship, let me challenge you to be a courageous couple that will do right even if your friends are doing wrong. That you say, I'm going to be pure. We're going to dress pure. We're going to talk pure. We're going to text pure. We're going to Instagram and all that's going to be pure. We're not going to do anything behind our parents' back. You listen? We're not going to do anything behind our parents' back. We're going to do things out in the open. We're going to do things with our parents being aware. We're going to honor God. We're going to be courageous. I'm telling you that it'll take you some courage to do that at your high school, your Christian high school, and your Christian youth group. I'm telling you, you're going to have to be an Othniel, an Axa kind of person. But you'll say, oh, dear God, I don't want to mess up my life. I want to have a kind of relationship like one that I see in my pastor and his wife, or my dad and my mom, or in this couple or that couple that's a godly couple. Listen, they didn't get there by accident. And they're not perfect people, and they no doubt mess up along the way. And we learn hard lessons along the way. But listen, I want to challenge your generation to say, listen, we want to do this God's way. God's way is the best way. So Aksa said to Othniel, hey, ask Daddy. Don't you love that? Guys, watch out now. You get married, she's going to work through you, brother. It's all good, though. Anyways, I'm not parking there. Aksa said, hey, ask Dad if we could have the springs, too. And then next thing you know, she's talking to him. Courageous. Young ladies, listen, courage is not just for young men. God wants you to be a young lady of grace and of courage. And be bold. To be different. To be godly. To ask God to do something in your generation. I love it that her name is Aksa, and she was asking her dad, what, and he said, what do you want? And she said this, give me a blessing. We've got the land here, but we're going to need irrigation. Would you give us the springs? Isn't that awesome? You know what she's doing right there? She's thinking about the future, not just today. The reason most young people your age fail instead of succeed is they give up what they want most for what they want at the moment. You got to live with the big picture in mind. And youth rallies like this will help you if you'll listen to it to say, you know what, that's the way that I want to go. I want to follow that generation that tried to serve God with their life. And now they're passing off the scene and it's our turn. What do you want? Why are you here? Man, I just came for the candy. Why are you here? Man, I just came because my buddy came. I just came because my friend came. Tell you the truth, I came because I'm interested in a young lady. You want to stand up and give a word about that? Probably not. But why are you here? I didn't have anything else to do. Why are you here? Why are you here at a youth rally on a Saturday afternoon when you could be wherever else? Why are you here? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want in your generation? What do you want in your life? Stop and think about it. What do you want? What do you want? Have you thought about that? Not since I've been out of bed, right? Not since I had breakfast. I'm not trying to insult you. I'm just trying to say, you know, you need to think about this. And you need to look at a generation that has given their life to fight for things that are right. And God could use your generation right here in Texas to stop abortion. Woo! I love Texas. We've been inspired up in Oklahoma by what's going on down here in Texas. Stopping those that would take life. It could be in your generation. If there'd be a generation like you that stand up and say, this is not right. Yeah. What are you going to do? You're just going to say, well, we can't do anything about it, man. You just got to simmer down. Yeah, the only thing that has to happen for evil to take over is for good people to do absolutely nothing. And if you don't do something, then transgenderism is going to take over our nation, and religious pluralism is going to come in like a flood, and Islam, you're going to see more mosques in Texas than you're going to see Baptist churches. And that'd be a bunch of them. And they're coming. What are you going to do? What do you want? You say, well, I kind of think maybe Texas is evangelized. Come again? Yeah. Have you been in, well, I mean, right here in Hazlitt, but have you been in Dallas Metroplex? Was it 8 million people? The nations of the earth that are here? At one point in time, I thought God was leading me and my family to India. India came to Texas. Right. India's in Texas. Mexico's in Texas. Africa's in Texas. You have a great opportunity. Go out on a limb. That's where the fruit is. Do the impossible. There's no competition there. You want a call? There's a call. Come ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light. Send the light. It's your generation. It's your time. What are you going to do? Here's what you ought to do. Follow the faith of those that acted on God's word. Follow the faith of those that acted on God's word. They just took God at His word and they did what God wanted them to do, and God did the rest. What a great way to live. Sure beats living in your parents' basement. Let's stand together here today.